Well, good morning, church family. It's not fair that I have to come up behind that song because what y'all don't know, that is my song. And I did not know they were playing that this morning until I saw it on the copier. I got here early and I said, wait a minute, are y'all playing this song? They said, yes. And the reason why, friends, that's my song, because I'm a living testimony that he is a chain breaker. He is a way maker. He is a prison shaking savior. Because he's done it for me, he's done it for you, and I'm so grateful for him and the testimony. My name is Felicia Mason. I'm an associate pastor here at Strong Tower Bible Church. If this is your first time here, Pastor Chris is our senior pastor, but he was so gracious and wonderful in asking me if I would speak today for Mother's Day. When he called me and asked me, see, pastor just don't call and ask you or text you or anything. He has a roundabout way. And he says, have I ever asked you to speak on Mother's Day? And I looked at that phone in the text and I said, no. And he said, barring anything like you being out of town, I'd love for you to do it. And I said, I'd gladly will because y'all, I love it. I love being here. I love just sharing what God is doing, what he has done, his word. And I believe that the word of God is the truth. Do we believe that this morning? Amen. And I believe that we learn from one another. Amen. Testimonies, stories. And when I woke up this morning, God put a few people on my heart and he put some people that's here in our sanctuary and some of our online members. Miss Blackie Wisegott just lost her mom, and I thought of Miss Blackie this morning, and just some other people that's just struggling today. So I want to start this by saying, I'm not here to take any of that away from you this morning. I'm not here to take away your pain. I'm here through God to soften the blow. A little bit. I'm here through God to celebrate with you because we like to celebrate here. And so when Pastor asked me that, I said, God, am I qualified to do that? Now, I wasn't asking, am I qualified to bring the word? Because I feel like we could all bring the word if we needed to today. That I love being with y'all. Y'all are my family and we gonna do this and I love this part. So I wasn't asking God, am I qualified to bring the word to my family? I was asking God, am I qualified as a mother to bring a word to my brothers and sisters? Because here's the real thing on this Mother's Day. Y'all, I ain't been a perfect mama. I got some big old gaps. And I thought, I'm gonna share some. Then I thought, no, I'm not. Because y'all listen to me right now. Motherhood is weird. It's wonderful and it's weird. And so I'm gonna share some things with you today. And I'm gonna ask this on the front end. Please don't judge me. I'm serious when I share these stories because I love children here. Right, I love my children. Don't judge me. And when we walk together through things, I promise I won't judge you. All right? So when I was saying, God, am I qualified to bring a word about motherhood? Well, you know how things get when you get in your flesh. You think about everything you've done wrong. Y'all know how that goes. So God was like, Felicia, remember the time? Well, see, it's what I was talking about. But I want to show y'all, we do this. We have our stories are probably a lot alike. I remember one morning I lived in Franklin. We lived downtown Franklin and my son went to school at David Lipscomb down the street here. And Lord, every time he was in kindergarten, he'd get in the car, he'd start crying and whining for nothing. A child ain't thirsty or have to go to the bathroom until you get in the car. And as soon as we got down Lewisburg Pike, he started that in the back seat. And y'all, I was at the end of my rope. We got to drive 30 miles to school. You're in a private school, and here you are whining. So I pulled the car over. And I said, Ryan, we're not doing this today. And he just went into the whole thing, and I said, get out of the car and walk. We were on Lewisburg Pike, downtown Franklin. His school's down here in Brady. He looked at me like, what? I said, get out of here and walk. I had enough. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I've already had enough. Y'all, that's one of the things that God, and you have to laugh about it. You have to. In that moment, your head is about to explode, but you have to laugh. Then my daughter Olivia, great softball player, starting pitcher, travel ball, middle school, high school, all the things. And we had a great middle school game one night. She's up to bat. She's pitched a perfect game. She goes up to bat, gets hit in the helmet by the ball. And Olivia's always fine. Always fine. She's like, I'm fine. Shake it off. Go to first base. She gets up the next morning. I got a headache. I said, you always got something. Your stomach, your head, something. Come down here and get something to eat and go to school. About an hour later, they called me and said, Felicia, the nurse called me. Olivia's in my office. She has a full-blown concussion. Could you come get her? I said, oh my goodness. I'll be right there. Hoping to God my daughter didn't say, I told my mama, and she said to get my tail in a car. That's just a couple of the stories, y'all. But I got a testimony today. Both of my children are here today. Stand up for me, baby. Stand up for your mama. Y'all meet my son, Ryan, and Olivia in the back there. Love you, baby. I love y'all too. So if CPS is watching online, they're here. They're whole and holy. But I just wanted to share those couple of stories with you this morning because we all got a story, y'all, in this thing called parenthood. Motherhood, we ain't always got it right. And we don't have to because we serve a God that does have it right. And he gives us grace when nobody else here will give it. And he shows us that in his word. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this Mother's Day. I'm gonna ask a special prayer right now, God, for the mothers that's among us right now. Lord, you just soften the blow for them today. The mothers that are celebrating, Lord, give them the joy of the Lord today. The ones that are struggling with relationships with their mother, God, give them peace today. Lord, would you speak a word through me that you would love for your sons and daughters to hear this morning, God? We are here for you. We're so grateful for you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So as I was praying through my faults and figures and truths and what am I going to say, God was like, Felicia, mothers hold so much in their hands. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, we do. And then he started talking. If you've ever prepared a word, God will tell you something and take it back and tell you and take it back. And so we went through this week. And he said, your hands are holy. Your hands hold holy tension, holy love, holy tears, and holy joy. And I'm a visual learner. Pastor will tell you it's how I learn. I teach children a lot, and so they're visual learners, so I'm visual. And I started going, oh my goodness, when I cry, I'm holding space in my hands. When I'm giving it up to him, I'm holding space in my hands. When I praise, I'm holding space between my hands. It's not always the same, friends, but we hold space. Your hands are so important. Why? Your hands may have been the first touch your child ever felt, human touch, when they came out. Your hands may be the last touch of your parents they ever felt before they transitioned. I know for 30 days I held my mom's hand before she transitioned. We hold power. We always hear we hold power in the tongue, and we do. We also hold power in our hands. God created our hands for such a work that we haven't even seen before. But when you lay it out, your tears, your hands, your prayers, your hands, your release, your hands, your capture, your hands, we hold holy space in our hands. Go to Exodus this morning, Exodus 2. We'll get started there. Now, just to give you kind of an overview of what we're gonna do, we're gonna travel today together. We're gonna take a little cruise. Y'all like to take little cruises every day. I ain't never been on one, but I like to cruise in my car. So we're gonna cruise. So however how you like to cruise, let's get it together and let's cruise through motherhood together this morning. Now, we're gonna do it together. All right? We're going to laugh together. We're going to cry together. We're just going to do it together this morning. I pray God has a word for you. And if you're sitting in the chairs this morning and you feel like there's no word that God has for you this morning, that's okay. Maybe he will give you a word that you can help someone else with. I'm going to go through a few moms of the Bible, and we're just going to talk through them. I'm looking at my time because I could be up here for 4 days. Okay, we'll start with Moses' mother, Jochebed, the mother who let go to save her son. Now, in Exodus 1:22, it says, every son that is born to the Hebrews shall be cast into the Nile River. Every daughter shall live. So here we go. She's had a boy, and Pharaoh is the worst. And he says, every male that's born, you will cast them in the river. Now, if you throw a baby in the river, he's probably not going to make it, right? If you just throw a baby in the river, not going to make it. In Exodus 2, we see where Moses' mother comes through. And it says, now a man of the tribe Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months because guess what? She wanted to keep her child. She knew the rule was to cast him in the Nile River, but she cherished her son, so she hid him for 3 months, probably until he became a little noisy and she couldn't hide him anymore, right? About 3 months old, babies find their voice. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. I love God so much, so much. He provided a papyrus basket to put the baby in. He provided tar and pitch. When I get a hole in my roof, we put tar on it till we can get a new roof. Why? Because water can't get through it. And so God had those materials there for this mother and her son. And she had the belief that God would do something with him. She prepared her son, put him in this basket of like reeds, papyrus. She puts tar and pitch over it. It's waterproof now. She's going to cast her son into the river, but he can't be touched. He's going to float. The water is not going to come into the basket. It says, and Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Pharaoh was the enemy. His daughter was not. Chain breaker. Waymaker. You ain't got to do what your parents have been like. You got to listen to your parents, young people. But if there has been something in your life to where your parents, you know, has been wrong, we all have been wrong. So it's all of us. Don't sit there surprised. It's all of us, right, Casilda? It's all of us. She said, this baby's special. So Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Her attendants were walking. She saw the basket, and she gave it, sent it to her female slave to get it. She opened it, saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is the one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She said, yes, go, she answered. She had action. If she was like her father, she would have dumped that baby out of that basket and said, see you later. Because that's what my daddy said. She didn't do that. She broke that chain. She didn't have to do that. She saw the evil in that. And she saved that baby. But can you imagine Moses' mother? She chose to let him go in the very water that babies were drowning in. If you've ever sent a child to war, this may feel like that. My husband's been to war many times, and I've asked his mother many times what that felt like, and she will not answer, and that's okay. So his mother chose to let him go, not because she didn't love him, but because she did. And not only did she let him go, she let him go well. There are times in motherhood where the bravest thing you can do is surrender. I have one of my best friends. We had this discussion this week. She has a child that has just not done the right thing a lot or any of that. And she's had to let them go. And she told me this week, do you know what so-and-so said to me about that? Do you know the guilt they've placed on me? Do you know what they've said to me? Do you know what they have charged me with their mouth? And I said, no, you chose to let your child go because you know you've protected them, you've set them up, and you've let them go. Now, I'm standing up here today saying that I'm guilty as charged. My son, my firstborn, it's been hard. He's a great child. I'll tell you, both of my children have just been amazing. It's hard for your firstborn to let go of. I had him when I was 20, and so we kind of grew up together. We ate the same foods. We watched the same shows. We did. Honey, I love Barney. And I still have to take a nap at 3:00 every day, and I blame it on Barney. But it was hard. Ryan is a go-getter. He's not going to sit still. He ain't going to take notes. He's going to run and do it. And so Ryan wanted a motorcycle as a teenager, and I said no, and that became a situation. And then he moved out, and then he joined the fire department. And I'm like, Lord, no. My firstborn is running into burning homes. So then that wasn't dangerous enough. So now he's a blaster. He goes out and blows up stuff with explosives every week. And I'm like, I'm hanging on to him. I'm hanging on to him to a fault. I'm not letting him run. I'm not letting him use his gifts and talents and want to as God has set him to. Now, I'm not going to tell you that my children have always made the right decision. If anybody in here has, you're next to the throne because none of us have. I'm not painting my children as perfect because they're not. In fact, if anybody ever did it, I would say it was my child there because everybody's capable. So then he says, Mom, I've met a lady and I love her and yeah. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Now, here's the fear in this. Let me just say this. It's not that you don't like who they love. But his father and I are divorced. I'm a divorced parent. And I said, Lord, I don't want him to make a mistake. Now, why are we like that? I don't know. Our children are going to make mistakes. They're going to fall. They're going to get up. But that's where I was with Ryan. I want it to be perfect and good and I don't know. And I just kept holding on to the point where our relationship got a little strained because I was a problem to him. I felt like I was help, but he felt as a problem. And I let that go. And I said, God, I'm going to see what you can do. You gave him to me. You formed him before I even knew. I lost a child before him, but you gave me him. I'm gonna trust you with this one. So then people started asking me, how's Ryan? How's it going? I said, great, good. They were like, what's wrong with you? And I gave him over to God. Y'all, letting go of your children isn't giving up. No matter if you're letting them go to the Lord to be like, hey, they gotta go figure their life out, or letting them go live. It's not giving up, it's giving over. It's turning it over. And so this morning, my child, he grew up here at Strong Tower. He walked in my office. Mom, I love you. You good? Great, good. That's about as far as we get. And then he says, who do I make my offering check out to today? I'm telling you business. You see, I let him go. And he's coming to the house. And he's giving when he steps in the door. Not perfect. With his wife. And I'm preaching for the Bible they gave me 4 years ago, y'all. God will do it. He will do it if you just let go. And I'm talking about let your child go to kindergarten. Now, I'm not talking about the big stuff because those little things will have you crazy. They will have you crazy. I'm not kidding. Hannah. Oh, I love me some Hannah. I love me some Hannah. She's the mother who gave back what she prayed for. And that's one of the reasons why we do baby dedications here, just as a symbol of that. 1 Samuel 1:27-28. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah was barren and heartbroken. She cried out to the Lord, and God gave her Samuel. But she made a vow, and after he was weaned, she brought him to the temple and left him there to serve God. She gave back to God what she had begged him to give her. Elder Sherman, God got what he paid for on that one. He did. He got what he paid for. That, friends, is the heart of worship. It's the heart of worship, not just singing songs, but surrendering what we love most. Now, I went to looking to see how long was she barren. I like to know details. And it just said year after year, a very long time. And it reminded me of when I had a couple in this church come up to me a few months ago and say, Pastor Felicia, in tears, we want a child. We've been doing it all. We've been doing it all, and we need some extra prayer. Could you just be in our circle? Can you pray for us? This is what, and I said, God has been giving me the same thing, and I showed them where he has been telling me to pray for them. We've been praying for them at staff meeting for no reason. We did not know that's how good God is. And I'm proud to say, God heard the desire of their heart. See, Hannah had to wait for a very long time for the desire of her heart to be heard. But it was heard. That's the good news. So if today, if you're praying for a child, it's your hands that you hold that in. It's your heart. I'm going to encourage you to ask someone to join you in the journey. Pray for me. Help me. Pray for me. Help me. See, ever since I was a little child, I wanted to have so many kids. That was my heart. My mother was so sick of me and baby dolls. She's like, you're 12 years old. It's time to get rid of them. And I'm like, I just want a lot of kids. She's like, this ain't healthy no more. And I named every one of my girl dolls Bridget Nicole. I think I had 9 of those. And my mother was so mad at me that whenever I had a daughter, I did not name her Bridget Nicole. It made her so mad. But I really, y'all, had a desire for a lot of children. Got married at 18, had Ryan at 20, had Olivia at 28, and that was the end of the song and dance for children for me. Grateful for my children, but God, you remember, I was a 5-year-old child talking about, there wasn't a woman who lived in his shoes, she had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Like, I love that. Then, he's like, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do something better. I'm gonna have you oversee 100 kids at church. Yeah, I'm gonna give you 100. You asked for many, I'm gonna give you 100. He delivered the desire of my heart twice. He gave me 2 of my own children and 100 children. Year after year after year. It'll be 10 years next year. So if you're waiting, God hears you. Grab some people, tell them to come along with you. There's power in numbers. There's power in our hands. There's power in us being together with our numbers in our hands. Do it, y'all. Do it today. Sometimes God gives us gifts that we are meant to steward and not possess. So he may give you a child like he did me, children in a different way. And he said, disciple, steward. They belong to me and they belong to their parents. But I'm going to give them to you for a minute, and you're going to get to be with them. Even our children belong to him more than they belong to us. That is so hard for me to understand sometimes. But they belong to God. Even when they're doing the things that you did not teach them to do, or the decisions you did not encourage them to make, or where they live, or just however, y'all, they belong to the Lord. We have to let them go at some point. We do, we have to let them go. Mary, the mother who held the mystery and the pain, Mary knew from the beginning that her child was not ordinary. She knew that. The angel told her he will save his people from their sins. Simeon said a sword would pierce her soul. She held the mystery in her heart, Luke 2:19. And she also watched him be crucified. Wait a minute, I know I've got a special baby that came to me in a special way. And now I'm gonna watch them perish in a way. Whether it be through adoption or natural childbirth or however, it can be disappointing to walk through those things. She wasn't disappointed. I'm saying as people of flesh and moms here, that could be so disappointing. Like I had a word, I had a special baby, and now my baby is perishing. She held a mystery in her heart, but she also watched him be crucified. Can you imagine watching your child go through that suffering and yet still trust God's plan? She didn't end it right there. She didn't end it right there. She was like, well, I gotta keep moving. I gotta keep moving. She knew that God had a plan. Even, and if you've ever seen Passion of the Christ, oh my gosh, that visual, we will not watch anymore in our house because I can't make it through it. She's watching her son. You may say, Pastor Felicia, I've seen my son and daughter perish that way. Maybe not on a cross, but they've been hurt. They've been beat up. I feel like they've had nails in their hands. But I gotta keep going because I believe God has a plan for them. And that's the hope Mary had in her interesting way of acquiring Jesus. She still had hope. When we lose our loved ones, sometimes we lose our hope. Or if we see our loved ones perish, we lose our hope. I lost my dad in April of 2021, and I gotta keep it moving, but 2021, and they called me. He was in a nursing facility, though not sick. He was there demented. They called me on a Saturday morning at 10:30 and said, Felicia, your dad is passing away. And I was like, good morning? It's like, your dad is passing away. Do you wanna come here? I'm 45 minutes away. I'm like, well, what? And I said, goodbye. I called 911. I go and I put myself in my bathroom in our bedroom, and I literally put myself in a corner and I call my pastor. He's my brother. I'm like, Pastor, and they just called and said, my dad is passing away. And of course, he's precious and has all the right words. And then he says this to me, okay, Felicia, have you released him? I didn't understand that. And I'm up against the wall in my bathroom because I can't get any further away from the situation, I feel like, physically. And he says, have you released him? You need to release him. And I'm like, but I'm hearing he's going. I've got this visual. Have you released him? No, I have not. And I said that just like that, the phone. No, I have not. But when I hung up the phone, I prayed a prayer. God, have your will. And I called them back. And they said, he just passed. And I said, praise God. So, sisters, when your parents are withering away, when your relationship has withered with your parents, when you no longer speak to your mother or your father, when you're watching what you thought was good, holy, and special bleed, blood-stricken, thorns, doesn't look nice and feel nice. I'm gonna ask you today to let go of that, to release it. God has a plan. Love them, honor them, release the situation. Sometimes we drown ourselves when we can't let go of things. So I'm gonna ask you today, if you have an injured relationship, that you release that today, like Mary did. This is the depth of motherhood, loving when it hurts, believing when you don't understand, and trusting God even when it breaks you, even when you're broken. God sees your tears. Every moment of pain in parenting is not wasted. It is long-suffering. It is crazy. It is joyful, but it is not wasted. Jesus entrusts his mother to John even from the cross. He never stopped caring for her. Now, holding on and letting go, we got a little visual here. I want us to walk through this really quickly. Here we go. Holding on feels like you're protecting your children, but letting go is trusting God. Holding on feels like you're nurturing, but letting go is releasing to purpose. Holding on is praying over your children. Letting go is also praying, but praying from a distance. That care does not end when you let go. Holding on may feel like holding in arms, but letting go is placing them in God's hands. Holding on, fear of what's next, that's really what it is. It's the fear, will they need me as much? Will they make the right choices? Will they make a choice that's gonna make them hurt? Fear of what's next, letting go is faith in what's promised. We can do it, y'all. And if anybody knows God, the Father who gave his son, if anyone knows the pain of letting go, John 3:16, we know it. He gave his only son so we could be his sons and daughters, and through his sacrifice, he took us into his family. Moms, you're never alone in letting go. God did it. Mary did it. Hannah did it. God has done it too. And he strengthens you to do it with grace. So what are the hard things we hold in the space of our hands? What are the hard things? Let's go through those. Now, if this is the time, if you want to take notes, if you're like, God is speaking to me, this is going to be a time where you're just going to want to jot down probably a verse or two, because that's going to be your oxygen on a day when you're feeling a little different. The hard things we hold in the space of our hands, we hold tears, and God counts them. Psalm 56:8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. What else do we hold? Prayers. God hears them. 1 John 5:14, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. We are confident in that. The sacrifices, God honors the sacrifices that we hold in our hands. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. That's the sacrifice. God honors them, friends. He honors those that we hold. Release, oh Lord, release. God redeems it. He redeems release, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That thing that Pastor Chris said to me on that morning of my father's death, have you released him? Have you released him? No, but God redeemed me. God redeemed me when I said, yes, God, have your way with my father. Do what you need to do. You're gonna take care of me. I know you will. Do what you need to do. And he did. I'm a living testimony. That's why Chain Breaker is my song. I'm a living testimony. 16 months later, my mother went to be with my dad in heaven, unexpectedly, 16 months later. And the last visit I had with her, I was holding her hand. We did not know that she was gonna take her last breath soon. But God gave me grace and memories. As I was holding her hand and I left her, I didn't know that would be the last time I would see her. God did a special thing through my mom. My mom, if you know me, I've told you my mom was spoiled. Whew, she's spoiled. Listen, her husband, I wish he was here today because my stepdad just spoiled her to pieces. She would always say, now Mother's Day is for me, okay? Yes, Mom. So we would leave here for the past several years and go to my mom's house and we'd exchange flowers and we'd call Chili's or O'Charlie's and go get food because it's my mom's day. And it was. I honored that. In May of 2022, we left here. We went to mom's house and we got to the front door and boom, there was an aroma coming from her house. I said, what is this? We on the front porch? go in, and my mother, she's sitting there wringing her hands with a paper towel in it. That's what, I do that too sometimes. And she's doing that. And I said, and she's red in the face, and now she's not sick at this point. And I said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, I knew you'd be tired from the church, and I have just made you a spread. I've been cooking all day. And I go in, and I ain't seen the kitchen like that since I was about 7 years old. It was different. God made my last Mother's Day with my mother, me not knowing, memorable. I'll never forget that meal. It was corn. I'd go through the whole menu. I can still smell it. And I laid on my mother's couch and went to sleep. There ain't nothing like sleeping on your mama's couch or your grandmama's couch. And I slept for the rest of the day. And that's what God gave me because he knew what he was about to do. He's about to bring her home, but he gave me my minute. Oh my gosh, I'm just so grateful that he redeems the relief. The joy, I'm gonna scoot through this. Y'all, we got joy. We got joy, we got pain, we got sacrifice, we got all that, but we've got joy. We've always got joy. My mother's middle name was Joy. My middle name is Joy. That's a connection I have to my mother. Olivia's middle name is Joy. We are gonna reign upon the joy if nothing else happens in our family. Isaiah 55:12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. That's joy in itself. Peace is joy in itself. Even as you release what you love, you don't lose joy. You walk forward with it because God leads you in peace. Psalm 126, 5 and 6, those who sow with tears will reap the songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. It's okay to cry. It's okay to lament. You're gonna get joy. You're gonna get joy. Some of us have mothers laying in the bed right now that we don't even speak of the sick bed they're laying in. And we have tears day after day. Your joy is coming. Your joy is coming. Even in the release, even when it feels like loss, joy is coming. The seed you place in God's hand will produce a harvest. Motherhood is not clean or tidy. It's messy, it's weird. It's beautiful. It's costly. Everybody said, yep. Went up a shoe size and a few dress sizes when I had my kids. It's costly, y'all. It's costly. It's holy. And the space that you hold between your hands, no matter your season, is holy. It's full of holding on and letting go over and over and over and over. So I pray that today that God sent you a message, or he sent you a memory, or he sent you some kind of hope and peace you haven't felt in a while. It's not me, it's God. He wants that for us. See, he knows where we're going. He knows our pain on the way there. And he's going to help us in that pain, in that release. And so today I pray for joy to overcome you, for peace to take over. I pray that you take care of yourself today, mothers. You take care of your mind. You take care of your heart. And you take care of this day. Make a memory. Make a memory for your mom. Do it. Do it. God will bless you for it. Let us pray. To the mom who has let go of a child too soon, he sees you. To the mom whose child is far from God, he hears you. To the mom whose arms are still empty, he loves you. To the mom releasing a child to adulthood, marriage, military, mission field, he is with you. Our grief and our gratitude, our pain and our pride, our children and our calling. God, we lift them to you this morning. May you bless every mother in this room. May you bless every heart that desires to be a mother in this room. Would you bless the aunties in this room that help us with our children, God? Because you give us children. You give us children in our heart's desire in your way to oversee and not to possess. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, God, we believe you abundantly above all we could ever ask. And it's according to the power and dominion that is working through us. both now and forever, forevermore. And all of God's people said amen. Happy Mother's Day. You're loved.